Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
When a natural disaster is forecast, you'll surely see ambulances and police cruisers, but you're just as likely to see news vans. Coverage of storms, especially hurricanes, means much more to media outlets than simple public safety information. These storms mean big ratings, major awards, and they can make a career.
Here is Dan Rather speaking directly from Galveston.
Dan Rather was a relatively unknown newsman when Hurricane Carla headed toward Texas in 1961. As it was roaring toward Galveston, Rather convinced CBS to tack on an extra 15 minutes to the broadcast just for hurricane coverage. Gripping fiercely to his mic, he reported from the Galveston seawall. It was the first live coverage of a hurricane. Rather remembered it in a special broadcast close to his retirement.
Our graphics were a little unpolished.
And this is a diagram, roughly, of the eye of the hurricane.
But that day we did something that had never been done before. Put a live radar image of a hurricane on television.
Rather was the first, but certainly not the last. It's now expected for reporters to don their yellow slickers and stand in the roaring wind to cover the big storms, and then stick around to report on the devastation left behind. Anderson Cooper became a household name in the weeks that followed Katrina.
For the last 4 days, I've been seeing dead bodies in the streets here in Mississippi, and to listen to politicians thanking each other and complimenting each other, I got to tell you, there are a lot of people here who are very upset.
And Brian Williams went from just a handsome face reading the headlines to an outraged journalist holding the administration accountable for its lapses and failures.
These evacuees were arriving, some of them with children, some of them with very few belongings. They were obviously, most of them, poor. And the National Guard were being quite rough verbally and physically with them. Not all, but some.
And so we come to Hurricane Irene, a storm in which the strongest winds may have been coming over the airwaves instead of the ocean. Reporters went to incredible lengths to get the most outrageous coverage of the storm.
I've got my goggles on, trying to look out the Atlantic, and I can't even do it. I mean, it is raining so hard, and it's blowing. These winds must be sustained up around 45 miles an hour or so.
I was staying in a hotel during the lead-up to Irene, sticking close to the studio to make sure I didn't get stranded at home in New Jersey. In the wee hours of the morning, not long before Irene was due to arrive in New York, it seemed the Big Apple was taking the warnings seriously.
At this point, it's very, very early in the morning on Sunday in Lower Manhattan. The storm has not hit us. It's a few hours away before Hurricane Irene, woo, really gets to us here. And it's ugly. It's not pretty weather outside. And were I not a reporter, I wouldn't be standing on this sidewalk. But let me tell you, New York is empty. It is ugly. One can only hope that just in case this does result in a lot of flooding, that people have, obeyed the voluntary evacuation order. But it looks as though, even though Hurricane Irene may not actually center itself on New York City, we're going to get a lot of rain, and it's not going to be pretty, one way or the other.
So, and it's not a Monday morning. It is a lovely day in Manhattan. The shops are reopened. The blue tape has come down off of people's windows. Tourists are back on the streets, snapping their pictures of the skyline. New York seems to have escaped mostly unscathed, and many here, at least, are asking if the evacuations and the extensive preparation was worth it, and they're also wondering why the media spent so much time covering it. Possibly wondering the same thing, our guest, Patrick Michaels. His name for the storm wasn't Irene. It was Hurricane Hype. That's what he called his op-ed in Forbes magazine. Patrick Michaels is a climate fellow at the Cato Institute. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us.
I see you didn't get blown away.
Oh, I did not. I ended up being fine, although, there was pretty strong winds. I'm wondering if in the aftermath of Irene, looking at the flooding that's going on in Vermont and Philadelphia, would you still call it hurricane hype?
Well, the flooding is different. This has been a very wet summer. And I don't know if you remember, 2 weeks ago there was a huge line of thunderstorms that set up on I-95 and just let water go everywhere. So if there were a big line of thunderstorms that came through a couple days ago, say, in Vermont and upstate New York, yeah, it would have created the same kind of flooding. And that was, I mean, while hurricanes tend to produce a lot of rain, the real problem here and the hype on this thing was what was going on the shore. You know, we didn't have the reporters going upstate to say, well, there's going to be a flood here, there's going to be a flood here. Instead, everybody is standing on the shore, when, in fact, this storm really was never going to generate the kind of winds that were going to create a massive storm surge. It just wasn't that powerful in terms of its winds.
To a certain extent, though, Patrick Michaels, I mean, I've said this morning, it's difficult to prove a negative. I mean, had they not gone out there and said, everybody get out, evacuate the areas in which they were concerned, I mean, this could have gone very differently had the storm turned and hit New York directly, right?
It did hit New York directly. Sorry. The eye went right over New York. No, the problem here was that we hyped this system exactly like Dan Rather did in 1961. That has been a model for the media. And frankly, the coverage, you know, 24/7 coverage for a storm that's onshore going to generate winds of maybe 50 miles an hour, is that really necessary?
But, I mean, this is, of course, the six-year anniversary of when Hurricane Katrina made landfall.
This was no Katrina.
However, but that is, I mean, obviously that's in the backs of the minds of many of these political leaders and possibly the reporters as well. I'm just trying to push back a little.
There's a problem. You know, the political community has a very difficult time with severe weather. If all the snow doesn't get off the street within a few hours after a major storm, they're in big trouble. And, you know, if they do what happened in New York, which was to shut down the subway system for a tropical storm, there's going to be a lot of recrimination and complaining. It's a very difficult situation they're in.
Okay, so well, let's go back to the people I think you're mostly concerned with, which is the media. That's who you have the biggest beef with, right?
I couldn't believe the massive coverage, you know, wall-to-wall coverage on every news network for a storm that was going to have a very hard time onshore generating a sustained wind of 50 miles an hour.
Okay, but Patrick Michaels, the argument is always going to be this is what people want to watch, and
what the argument is. And I'd like to see what the ratings were. Obviously, they were probably pretty good, at least in previous storms, because otherwise we would not continue this perseveration on windstorms.
Patrick Michaels, a senior fellow at the Cato Institute, writes about climate issues for Forbes magazine and called it hurricane hype. You're sticking with that, Patrick?
Yeah, for onshore, for the people of Vermont, no, it's a decent storm.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Patrick.
Bye.
As you heard, nearly 6 million homes and businesses are now without power along the eastern seaboard.
This is Kevin from Oxford, Massachusetts. I've been out of power since yesterday afternoon. There's a tree down 1.5 miles from my house. On my way to work this morning, I looked, and the highway department hasn't even touched the tree. It's been there since yesterday. Blocking the roads, get the power down.
Give us a report of what it looks like where you are and how you're recovering from Hurricane Irene. Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/thetakeaway. I'm Celeste Headlee. John Hockenberry is out this week. This is The Takeaway.